As we've been singing and praying this morning, man, my mind, you know how I do. When I'm worshiping, my mind is always working, and the Spirit is always working and moving. And, man, I'm just, we just got back from Honduras. It was a great experience. Once again, training pastors and had a team of people doing medical clinics, which went so well. And it was great for us as members of the Gathering Place to be together, to be serving together, and some beautiful things happened. We were able to baptize one of our members while we were there who had never been baptized. We're going to show that week after next, the video of that, and let him share his testimony. Just some really neat things going on. But one of the things that's true no matter where I go, no matter when I speak, I always sense the Spirit telling me this. I don't know if it's just if it's a particular gifting that God's given me. Sometimes I feel like it's a curse, not only for me but for you. And so I want to, you know, as always, I want to continue to be transparent with you guys about how I feel about what God's doing. But I just feel like there's such a, for those of us who are not like Jake, who, you know, who are atheists and called out of atheism into a pure relationship with God that doesn't have all the mixture of religion in it, I just think we have a hard time releasing some of the stuff that we grew up with. You know, and in our culture, the culture that we live in here in Central Louisiana, in the Bible Belt, there's so much of that that's just in the culture. You know, that we automatically accept and we try to walk by and live by. There's this hodgepodge for some of us of this mixture of truth and error that we try to operate in. And so I wonder sometimes if just the physical activity of coming to a place like this, to a church building, getting into our little mode of operation, you know, in our area where we sit, and we usually all sit pretty much in the same area until the college students came, and then that, everybody's been messed up, which has been good. No, actually, they've inhabited the front, which is nice. Some of you sat in the front once. Valiant effort, by the way. Thanks. Okay, now we weren't going to name calling. I was looking at you, but anyway. But just coming and sitting in the same place, it's just so easy for us to come in and sing songs and listen to sermons. Open our Bibles if you do that. You know, it's just activity that we normally do. Greet everybody, love on everyone, you know, and then go home. And I've just never, I mean, I can't remember ever in my ministry feeling comfortable with that. I've always had this tension of, don't let it become a paradigm that paralyzes you, you know, where you don't move with God and you're not in relationship and it's not organic and flowing, you know, has the life of the Spirit in it. It just, and so, you know, I did youth ministry for 20 years because, you know, in youth ministry you can do anything and it's okay. And then we go sit in church and we don't do it in church, but, you know, we get in our little modes. But in youth ministry, I found a lot of comfort and freedom there. And but then when God called me to pastor, I just never could find peace in that. But here's one of the things that God has continued to reveal. And I hope you guys are plugged into this because I think it speaks to where we are today. Y'all with me? Say, oh, yeah. Y'all with me? Say, oh, see. That's the way they say it in Honduras. It's pretty funny. Now, it doesn't matter what goes on. If I stand up, they go, oh, yeah. You know, if I say anything, they say, oh, yeah. Here, I get that. Bless your heart. Excuse us for a minute. We start off, it was so cold this morning, we had to turn all the heaters on and snuggle up in blankets. But welcome to Louisiana. So here's what I'm trying to get out is I know when I was with the pastors this time, Eric and I were teaching and I felt like the Holy Spirit said you need to recap all of what you did last year. And so, man, I was overwhelmed by that initially, but then, you know, once I kind of felt through it, I felt like, okay, is this me? But yes, it is me, but it's the Holy Spirit in me, and this is what he does. I'm never going to be satisfied with the pastors in Honduras coming to a routine, you know, quarterly pastor training time where they sit down and they listen to us speak and they grab, you know, have some nice feelings about God, and then they go home and don't practice them. And so I went back all the way. It took me 4 hours, which I know for you guys that sounds like a lot. For them, it's, they never got up during the, well, we got up and had some coffee in the middle of that. And they were just, all of it, they just ate it up. I mean, it was amazing. But as I started going through that in that four-hour time period, we went over all of last year in a summary form. And as I finished each statement or each major thought, I asked this question. I said, do you guys believe this? And they said, oh, see. You know, I said, well, here's the question. Do you feel strongly enough about this that you can apply it where you're living? Will you teach this to your leaders? Will you teach this to your people? Will you do this? Will you live this way? And they kind of checked up, you know, but then they agreed. And so we had 4 hours of just recapping. And I know sometimes you guys get tired of me recapping, of going back and saying again. But here's what I know about us. I know because we've got so much baggage, maybe there'll come a day when the Lord will release me not to do this. But I'm not interested in us meeting together and not being changed by the Word and the Spirit. I can't, you know, I'm not interested in standing before you guys and speaking. That doesn't motivate me at all. I feel weak at that anyway. But to speak and have you guys say, oh, that was really good. I could care less about that. Honestly, you guys know that, right? Not you guys, but you guys know that, right? You hadn't been here long enough, some of you. But I don't care about that. I mean, what I really care about is, are we getting the message that God has for this body? Are we really understanding that the messages that God is speaking to this body? And it's not just me, okay? We got Come and Dwell now. We have a CD with 6 songs on it that's the story of our church. It is 6 songs that tell a story about what God has been teaching us as a church. So Kevin's in it too. So, you know, Kevin and Lori, they're bought into this. God is trying to teach us something that will change us and change this community. And so we don't have time to just sit around and play church. That sounded like preaching, but that's honest. I'm not trying to get you all fired up to say, oh, yeah, well, don't play church. No, let's don't play church. You don't play church. Don't leave here today without hearing the word that God has for you and applying it to your life and applying it in your community and applying it at your job and at LC. God has something he wants to do here that he wants to use us to do. His Spirit lives in us. We all have that in common. We all have the Word. We're teaching the Word as accurately as we know how with the Spirit's help. But we need to live in the kingdom of God. Amen? Y'all with me this morning? So this week, I encourage you guys to go and listen to the podcast. They are back online. Go to last Friday. Listen to that one. Listen this week because Kevin and Lori are dialoguing about the stories behind the songs and the scriptures behind the songs that are on the Come and Dwell CD. I encourage you to take a CD and take it home and listen to it and digest the lyrics because they're very well thought out. They're spirit-written lyrics that will help you to understand what's going on in this place. And then ask yourself the question, have I applied what the Lord has spoken to me? Are we really becoming this church that God is trying to mold here? He is literally, it's beautiful. Eric and I spoke on community all week long in Honduras or during that time period. 20 hours feels like a week. It should have been a week. It's actually 2 days. But in our teaching, we talked about how through all of Scripture, God never speaks to us as ones. He's always dealing with community. And I love the fact that it's not isolated people that I look at across the congregation and say, okay, well, yeah, you get it. We're beginning to be literally sanctified as a church, not just as individuals. God is sanctifying this church. And he's, you know, he's only sanctifying us as a church. Sanctifying, by the way, just means that God is cleansing us and he's changing us. He's making us more like Jesus. Okay, he's taking away the we're no longer, one of the lyrics today, no longer living in the darkness, but living in the light. Jesus is doing that in us, but that's the camaraderie we have here. That's the unity that we're experiencing here. It's a unity of the Spirit's changing all of us, and we're moving together to a different place. And that's what we want. That's what we want. We want to see the kingdom of God on the earth. I love the Lord's Prayer. I love that particular phrase, you know, where Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth. Now, we know his kingdom is here. But when we pray that, we should be thinking, God, I'm going to do everything I can to allow your kingdom to come in my life and to be expressed through my life and to be expressed in this community and in this body. I want to do my part to strain with you, God, to focus with you, to be diligent in seeking and allowing the kingdom to transform me, to surrendering myself, really, is the posture we have. It's a posture of just giving ourselves, surrendering to God, and letting him do through us what he's longed to do in the world since the day of Adam and Eve, and did in the world prior to sin. So we want to see that. We want to walk in the kingdom. So I hope you guys are getting this, and I'm going to take some time this morning to recap some of what we've talked about. Here's the deal. We have not all been here. I mean, we've been scattered. We've been in different places, and the messages that I've preached have been about the kingdom, but in some ways, because Christmas came when it did, it really wasn't in sequence. So I want to help you and help me to get a grasp on this. Now, there's two ways you can look at this morning. I don't know how long this is going to take me to do. I've got plenty more to go beyond just the recap, and I hope I'll get to do that today. But two ways you can look at this. One way is, well, we've heard this, and so I'm going to turn my brain off and think about something else. Okay. If you do that, what I just did was wasted. We need this recap this morning, okay? A second thing you might do is get out a pen and paper or your iPad or your phone and take some notes. Write this down and ask yourself, have I applied this? If nothing else, mentally staying engaged, really straining with the Holy Spirit to stay engaged with the thoughts and ideas that God's already given us, and asking yourself the question, like the Honduran pastors did, have I really heard this, and have I really applied it? The truth is, if we don't see Jesus for who he is, and as the king, then we won't be motivated in the way that God wants to motivate us. He doesn't want us to be motivated by any other way than a heart transformation. And that heart transformation comes as the truth is revealed and God's Spirit gives us that. And it radically changes us. And so I'm asking God for that radical transformation for us. And I hope that you'll be open to that today. All right, so in a way of recapping, we're talking about the kingdom of God. Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the king, a child king, the Messiah, who would establish his kingdom. We read about that. We studied that. And Jesus completely fulfilled the prophecy that Isaiah gave about this king that would come. He perfectly exemplified the king that Isaiah described, a king who was indeed and is indeed a wonderful counselor. Everybody recognizes that, right? That he is our wonderful counselor. He is the one who guides us, leads us, his spirit that lives in us. He is our wonderful counselor. He exemplifies that. It's easy for me this morning to sing those praises to my king who walks with me and is my personal counselor. He's not far from me in some with his nobles in some kingdom, but he's with me, in me. He is a wonderful counselor, and that's the way subjects live in the kingdom of God. We live with the king. He is with us, in us, by our side. I love all the songs that talk about being near to God, and I'm not an emotional person, but I can really relate to that, to lay back against him and breathe, you know, feel his heartbeat, all that stuff, and you know, where God holds us and he's with us. That's the God that we serve. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. You know, a God of power. The songs that we talked about this morning drew my mind. One of the ones we talked about was Death, Where's Your Sting? I can't remember the lyric, but help me, Kevin. Where is it? Yeah, mountains quake before you. Demons cry and flee. All that stuff about the power of God over all the demonic forces. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I sat down with a leader of a Christian institution, and here's what I heard over and over again was how powerful Satan was. This is a leader of a Christian institution who kept talking about the power of the devil and how the devil is getting the upper hand. And I'm thinking, who are you serving? What kingdom are you in? You know, in my mind, in my heart, and as a subject in the kingdom of God, I'm seeing strongholds falling. I'm seeing literally demonic forces. They're not even an issue. Now, I'm not saying the devil's not sneaky. He is. But he's defeated. Right? I mean, those songs that we sang are true. He is mighty God. And God's power is with us, in us, by our side all the time. That's the kind of king that we serve. He is everlasting Father. He is our Father. He loves us like a father, and he's with us all the time as a good father, all the good descriptions of father, not maybe some of the messed up versions of father that some of you had to grow up with. I don't know what your family life was like, but he is a great father. He loves us. He created us to be sons and daughters that he could reveal his glory in and through. The beauty of his character, that we could know him and love him, and he treats us like father. And he's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace, perfect peace in every situation. And we'll go back to that as we get into the Beatitudes here in a minute. But he is the Prince of Peace. And no matter what our circumstances are, he is with us bringing peace to our circumstances. Even in the face of death, he brings peace. And there are certainly stories, numerous stories in the scripture and stories of people who have given their lives for the work of the kingdom. And in the midst of at the moment of their death, they are at peace. And Paul in his writings from prison after receiving beatings and stonings and being shipwrecked, he still has the peace of God in his life. That's the kind of king that we serve. So that's the king of the kingdom that Isaiah prophesied. And Isaiah said that through Jesus that the kingdom of Israel would be established, and it was. And sadly, there are many Israelites who don't receive this spiritual kingdom. But God wasn't talking about a physical kingdom. He was talking about a spiritual kingdom that we can enjoy and live in, and that the government of this spiritual king would be on the shoulders of Jesus. That literally, that Jesus would wear the kingly robe, which would represent, with the shoulder guards, that would represent his authority in this kingdom. Isaiah in chapter 22, look at it with me, in verse 22, Isaiah speaks again about this being on the shoulder of Jesus, this authority being on the shoulder of Jesus. He says, "And I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. And he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." This kingdom that we are living in and operating in is on the shoulders of Jesus. It's on the shoulders of Almighty God. He is carrying this kingdom. He is not just ruling the kingdom and hoping for the best and putting people in authority. He is actually ruling the kingdom. He is walking with us in this kingdom. And so there is nothing that we should fear when God has complete authority and the keys to this kingdom. And so again, why should we be dismayed when it seems like when we are subjects in the kingdom, walking with the king, and circumstances happen? We should. God's got it. Another thing that Isaiah talked about was that his kingdom is expanding and will continue to expand without end. And so he will always be the one who opens and shuts the doors of the kingdom. God's kingdom will continue to increase. And we've talked a number of different times about this, but the main focus here for us, I think, is to recognize that we are not responsible for building this kingdom. God builds this kingdom through us. And that's such a fine line for us, because we are used in the building of the kingdom. We are used by God in presenting the kingdom of God to others. But God builds the kingdom. He opens the doors. He shuts the doors. God is the one that is building and expanding this kingdom, and this kingdom will never end. And so what does that mean for us? It means we need to be very conscious about keeping ourselves out of the things that we do as a body and as individuals. Be totally dependent upon the Lord. Be totally dependent upon his leadership, his guidance. Have that kind of character as a subject in the kingdom of God, so that we can walk with our king, because he is going to expand it. And if he doesn't expand it, the kingdom will not last. And so what happens? Churches are built. Kingdoms are built that are not built on the will of the Lord. And they might build, they might become huge kingdoms. But then when they fall, they fall. They cease to exist. And that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is ever expanding, and it will not fall. And so we wait on the pace of God as he develops this body and as he develops the kingdom in this community. We're going to wait on his timing. We're going to move with him. We're not going to move ahead of him. We're not going to try to convince people to do something that God has not led us to do. We're going to walk with God in his kingdom. We're going to let God expand it. This is a characteristic of the kingdom of God. We don't have to make it happen. Some mornings, I mean, you guys know this. Yeah, you're that this way too. Some mornings I wake up and I say, okay, God, we need to do something today, because this kingdom is not happening. It's not building. It's not expanding fast enough. So I'm going to get busy today and get some really creative ideas. And after I've spent the day thinking about all these creative ideas of how the kingdom can expand, at the end of the day, I'm looking at my kingdom expanding, not his. The Beatitudes help us to understand that. Our posture, how we walk together, the character of subjects in the kingdom of God. Now, in reference to this expansion, how does it happen? We talked about the fact that the kingdom of God is revealed to us, that none of us can see it. The secrets of the kingdom of God have been revealed to us. So if you understand what I'm talking about today, if you're understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth, and I don't sound like Charlie Brown's teacher this morning, all right, if you understand what I'm saying, it's only because the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to see. The kingdom of God has been, people's eyes have been blinded to it. We are dependent upon God to open our eyes to see the truth of the kingdom. And so God has to do that. That's the only way this kingdom can expand. It expands when God opens the eyes of believers. So, of lost folks. Now, and religious folks, by the way. And so some of you may have been very religious growing up, and you might do a lot of stuff, have done a lot of stuff in the church, but maybe for the first time in your life, God is opening your eyes to see the truth about his kingdom. Okay, we are dependent upon God to do that for us. And we've asked God to do it. And Paul asked God all the time. You look at all of his letters, and he's constantly saying, God, open the eyes of their understanding. Open their hearts to see. Open their eyes to see. Their hearts to feel. Give them ears to hear. All different kinds of references to God doing a work so that we can see the truth about the kingdom, the secrets of the kingdom of God. And so we desperately need that. Amen? Would you guys agree with that? Say, oh, yeah. Are you still awake? Say, uh-huh. Okay. All right. Recap. I know. But here we go. Some of you are hearing it for the first time. I know that. And not because you weren't here before, because we need this. I need this. So his kingdom is expanding, and in reference to his expanding, the kingdom must be revealed to us. That's the way it expands. The secrets of the kingdom will be given to us and will be given to others in this community, and God will use us to do that. Another thing we talked about is that those who do receive the words of the gospel would be fertile soil for the gospel to grow up in them, and the kingdom would grow in them. How we receive the words of the kingdom, we're all different kinds of soil. And so how I'm speaking this morning is falling on different types of soil. Some of the soil here this morning is very hard. It's rocky ground, and it's in the kingdom. These truths from the kingdom and about the kingdom are not making its way into your heart. I don't know what's made you hard. It might be life has made you hard. It might be that you're tired this morning, and so your physical body is making you hard today, and so you're not receiving the truths. It's not getting past your ears. And even the sound is only kind of reverberating in the room. I know that happens. It happens to me. So, but God has to work in us to make us fertile soil, and we've got to work with God in surrender to Him, to say, God, I'm going to work with you when I walk into a place where your word is being taught by a messenger that you've placed before me. I'm going to hear the word, and I'm going to struggle against all odds. If I didn't get any sleep last night, I'm going to work hard against all odds to stay awake and to stay focused, to really hear what you're trying to say to me. And so we want to have fertile soil. And when we do work with God, allow Him to produce fertile soil in us, which, by the way, means tilling it up, right? More truths that we're going to talk about in the character of subjects in the kingdom. Man, it's the roughness of life. It's the circumstances of life that cause that God uses to till us up, to make us ready to receive His word. Sometimes life throws some junk at us, and we can look at it one of two ways. We can look at it as, oh, this is pitiful, poor me. I'm going to whine to everybody so they'll feel sorry for me. Or we can look at it as, God, till it up. Get it all tilled up, because I want to receive your word related to this. When are we more open to the word of God about circumstances, about whatever? In relationships, I'm a whole lot more open to God. How should I walk in relationship with someone when I got a relationship that's falling apart? Now I'm seeking and I'm asking, God, help me. What do I do with this? How do I deal with this relationship with my son, with my daughter, with my wife, with my friend? We're having problems. And so God tills it up. And then he throws cow dung on it. Right? About time it gets tilled up, and everything seems to be good, it smells worse. God fertilizes. He makes the soil fertile. And the scripture tells us, we learned about the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, when we receive the words of the kingdom with fertile soil, it will increase a thousandfold. It will exponentially, that the word of God will find its way into our life, and it will touch every aspect of our lives, and it'll begin to expand outside of us. That's the natural way that the word of God should be moving and working in our lives. Not that the pastor really knows how to drive home a message, and so we get it, and so we really feel motivated for a little while, or the accountability between the life group leaders and friends, and oh, well, you should have done this. Okay, well, I will. I mean, that's all good. It's part of it. But no, it's just inside of us. The word of the kingdom gets in us. And man, we're motivated from the inside. That's the heart being transformed. There's a metamorphosis that happens with us. And God does it. And He touches our hearts and it moves us. He takes away our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. He does that for us. And puts His spirit in us. And takes away our spirit and our takes away that negative spirit and puts His spirit in us, puts a new spirit in us, and then we will, because we want to, obey His laws and decrees. And we'll be His people and He'll be our God. We want that. It's not that we have to. We're drudgingly being God's people and He's being our God. We want to be God's people. And so we're walking with God, and He's blessing us in the kingdom. So the words of the gospel are making its way, and the effect of the gospel is similar to that of a mustard seed, that it's very small, but when it's placed in that fertile soil, it's exponential growth. Exponential growth. It's like leaven. We talked about that, and how a little bit of leaven, when it gets inside of us, it grows up. And we talked about, in the midst of, while we're talking about leaven, be careful not to let the leaven of carnality stay in your life. And we got warnings about that from the scripture, that carnal leaven, that sin that we allow to stay in our lives will also swell up inside of us. And we need to remove that. Ask the Holy Spirit to take that carnal leaven out. And when He reveals something to us, we need to recognize the severity of that. Because the kingdom of God will grow up in us if we can remove that other leaven. We don't want competition when it comes to leaven. We don't want carnal leaven. We don't want religious leaven growing up inside of us like the Pharisees did. And Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, because if it gets in you and you hold on to it and you focus on that leaven, then that leaven will grow up inside of you. And then He says, don't let some mixture, like the Judaizers did, of a little bit of the religious and a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of carnality and a little bit of Jesus. Don't let that get all the other leaven out, and only the leaven of the kingdom of God to put inside of you. And He says, when that happens, man, You begin to receive the words of God and let it grow up inside of you. He said it will grow up and it'll affect everything. Every part of your life will be affected. That's what we want. That's what we're striving for in this church. That's why we're recapping today. It's not because we hadn't heard a message. It's because we're not living a message. We're not allowing this maybe to get inside of us and be motivated by the right reasons. I don't want you guys to say, man, I feel guilty, so I'm going to do this. Please don't say that. You know, what we need to get to is, man, I'm in love with Jesus. And he is so good to me, and he has done so many good things for me, and I just love him. And the more I learn about him, I'm just more and more enamored by him, and I can't help but serve. I can't help but talk. Glenn, I'm going to do this week because I love Jesus. Now, that's what I want to hear. You know, not that I failed again and I feel guilty, so I'm going to try harder. Please, no. Let's just love God. Let's receive his words. Let's let his spirit do his work in us and motivate us and change us. And let's serve God because we love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. If you love him, you will obey his commandments. If your heart is changed, you will walk with God. If you're walking in the kingdom and the seeds of the truth of God are making its way into your heart, not just into your mind, and you're being motivated by that, you will change, and it will be enormous, exponential, the change that will happen in your life. The world needs to see that. The world needs to see that. And it's hard. It's not an easy thing to share the truth about God to a world that, in this culture where we live today, who hates the church and sees us as fanatics. I had a conversation with an atheist friend of mine the other day, and I'm thankful the Lord allowed me to have this conversation. I've been trying to think of, actually Todd gave me this suggestion, of how to communicate, because I'm frustrated. I can't talk to my religious brothers about this, because there's no frame of reference. Most of my brothers in ministry are still stuck in this religious paradigm where they're just doing things because you're supposed to, because you should, you have to, and you know we've always done it that way, and it's tradition. And not all of them, but a lot of them are that way. And so I'm frustrated because when I start talking about Jesus and being in love with Jesus and being changed by Jesus and living this life and being open to whatever God tells us to do, Jesus tells us to do, it blows their mind. But then I can't talk about Jesus with my atheist friends either. And so I shared this with an atheist friend the other day. He talked about the fact that he doesn't like to be evangelized, which I wasn't doing with him, and he knew that. He was talking about his experiences in the past. Actually, he used the term proselyted, which proselyte means to come from one church to another. He's not in any church, so I don't know how that works. But that was the term he was using, and that's what he was saying. I don't want people to try and talk me into being Christian. I'm tired of that, you know. And I understood that. And he said one of the best things he could say to me. First of all, he said you're the only Christian I know that when I say I'm an atheist didn't quit talking to me, you know, or make it nice through the rest of that conversation and then don't talk to me anymore. But now we have a relationship. We've been talking and talking and talking and philosophizing about God, and we just recognize that we come from two different worldviews, and we talk about that. But in the midst of the conversation, He basically said, I don't want to be proselyted. And I said, well, I understand that. I said, I'm going to tell you one of my frustrations. He said, what's that? I said, I hate that I can't talk to you about Jesus, about what he really means to me, without you thinking that I'm one of them. And I said, I feel like I can't talk about, I mean, Jesus is the most important thing in my life. He is what motivates my life. He's the one that makes me want to live. He's the one that motivates the way I live. He is everything to me, and I feel like you don't even know that because I can't talk about Jesus to you without you thinking I'm one of them. And I used to be one of them, and we've already talked about this, and he and I had. And he said, man, it's cool, bro. You can talk about Jesus to me. I said, that's okay if you think I'm weird, but I really just want to be able to say to you, instead of saying, man, this really good thing happened to me this past week, I want to be able to say, man, Jesus gave me direction and guidance. I did what he told me to do, and this happened. Now I want to be able to say that. I want to be able to say how powerful he is and how good he is. He gave me permission, so I'm going to talk about Jesus now with him. But it's frustrating in this culture sometimes that we feel like we can't share the words of the gospel with people. But one thing we can do is we can allow the gospel to have its full effect in our hearts. Not in our minds, alone. We can let the gospel have its full effect in our hearts. We can let the truth about who God is and what he did for us have its way in our hearts so that it changes the way we live. And people are going to see that. And they're going to be motivated by that, because the kingdom is expanding. And it's like yeast. It gets in you. It spreads. But just make sure it's the kingdom, that you're not out on some project trying to do something for Jesus. Just be you and love Jesus. Fall more deeply in love with him. Continue to seek him and hear the words of the kingdom, and let the words have their effect. So once we've had that, man, here's what happens. Once the words of the kingdom begin to have their effect in our lives, and the king begins to have his effect in our lives, he's living in us and with us, and we're experiencing life in this way that Isaiah prophesied, that the kingdom of God is here with us now, in us, and we are operating in the kingdom, then our character begins to change. As subjects in the kingdom, when we're walking with God, our character begins to change. And the paradox that Jacob read about this morning, this paradoxical lifestyle, is what we begin to see happening naturally in us. We find ourselves living in this world, but our values are different. We don't have the same attraction to the things of this world that the people around us do. Our values are different. The kingdom is having its effect, and we're beginning to find ourselves in many ways in the way of what we value. We're finding ourselves being further and further separated from the world. Y'all with me? Right? The more the kingdom has its way in our lives, the more that we begin to understand that seed, it begins to build up in us. We find our values being separate from those of the world. We become different people than the people of the world. They don't understand us. We don't understand us. But we don't have the same desires anymore. We find ourselves being further and further separated from the values of the world. At the same time, watch this, we find ourselves being more and more connected to the spreading of the gospel, to the increasing of the kingdom, being connected to the world so that we can show the truth about God to the world. So the kingdom begins to expand and begins to spread. And so we're not people who have position and power apart from God. We have nothing. Instead, we are contented. We are happy. We are happy like those people in Jesus' day who were royalty, who had all the wealth in the world and could live in peace and contentment because they knew they had wealth. So they never had to worry about it. That's where that word blessed or happy comes from. It was initially a term that was used to describe the condition of a person who had plenty of wealth, that they could just live their lives and never have to worry about it. We're that way, but in a different kingdom. We're that way in the kingdom of God. We are blessed. And how are we blessed? We talked about last week the fact we are blessed because we are poor in spirit. When the Holy Spirit finally gets us to the point where he sanctifies us in such a way that we become poor in spirit. And many times it's through literal poverty that happens. It's through loss that we become poor in spirit. Because when we have nothing, what do we have to do with God? We have to be dependent on everlasting Father. And Luke talks about poverty. He just says, blessed are the poor. Matthew makes a spiritual connection. It says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. We are poor in spirit, but we are blessed. We are content being poor in spirit. We're content having nothing to offer God, but just waiting on him, accepting him, loving him. Jesus begins to teach us, those of us whose eyes are open, about contentment and joy and where it comes from, the joy that will be ours as we live our lives as subjects in the kingdom. And he gives these descriptions in the Beatitudes of what that looks like, to be blessed. He describes blessings as living life with contentment, literal contentment of our hearts. with peace. And so last week we talked about this, how what that, or week before last, what that looks like. To have the same kind of peace, resting in everlasting Father, resting in Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, resting in Him, realizing we have everything we need in Jesus. In the world, this paradox is shown. In the world, we have contentment from being connected to position, to people, to possessions. Those are the places where we find our contentment. The paradox in the kingdom of God is that we are poor. The characteristics of the subjects in the kingdom of God are different than the characteristics of people in this world. And Luke described that for us last week. We read in Luke chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. He says, "But woe to you who are rich, who have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." And then regarding these woes, what we're trying to understand is this is paradoxical. He's saying you got it now, but you're missing the kingdom. You're operating in the physical kingdom, but you're missing this kingdom. In the teacher's commentary, one of the commentaries that I use regularly when I study, I want to share this quote, and we'll have to be done for today. But he says this. He said, "Jesus shatters such dreams," talking about those who are rich and full now and laugh now, those who are having fame with the people of this world. He said, "Jesus shatters such dreams and rejects such goals in the Beatitudes. He sets up a whole new package of values, proclaiming that in these you and I will find fulfillment, not in pleasure, but in longing, not in satisfaction, but in hunger, not in popularity, but in commitment to an unpopular cause, not in competition and winning, but in helping others win their way to peace." This is what God says about them. "It is to those who have nothing in themselves." Is that you? "It's to those who have nothing in themselves that God gives the kingdom of God, the comfort of heaven. The earth is their inheritance, the satisfaction of His provision, the mercy and vision of God, the right to be called His sons, and the greatest of all rewards, a place in His kingdom." So I'd say this to us, church, today. Go with the attitude of the kingdom that God is creating in you. Go with it. That attitude that God is creating in you as a child of the kingdom, as a subject in the kingdom, as a person who's been born again, go with that attitude that God is creating in you. Embrace the character of Christ. Give your best effort to yield to the sanctification of the Spirit of God that's happening inside of you. And then receive the blessings of the kingdom of God. Receive the blessings of being a subject in the kingdom of God. Receive the contentment and the peace and the comfort that comes from being subjects in the kingdom. I wonder, guys, if we're... Is that message, which was just seven messages tied into one, has that message made its way into your heart? Are we understanding this message? Are we recognizing how we all have a tendency to walk in the ways of this world and to keep our minds in some degree, either a portion of our minds or all of our minds, we still operate in the principles of this world instead of as subjects in the kingdom? Whatever the Lord has spoken to you regarding this, I hope that you will absorb this information, that you will think about it, that you will dwell on the kingdom of God, begin to understand it. Some of you may need more time to hear that again. I love the fact that we just did that, because now you can go to the website, you can pull this message up, listen to it a piece at a time this next week, and ask yourself questions. The same questions that we asked the Honduran pastors this week, I'd ask you to ask yourself. Have you heard it, really? Have you really heard the message? Do you understand it? Are you making every effort to surrender to the Spirit of God as He changes you so that you can become what you hurt? Do you recognize the value of living life in the kingdom? Do you recognize the beauty of the King that we serve? Is that motivating you? Are you being changed by that? If so, and if not, my prayer for you this week is that we will be more, that we'll be able to say about all those things, we are better subjects in the kingdom. That you will really focus on those things, and let's move on. Let's move on to talk about more of this characteristics of subjects in the kingdom of God, more about how the Spirit of God is changing us, how He's sanctifying us, how He's motivating us and moving us to be different people. For the beauty of the gospel, to show the truth about who God is to the world around us. Let's just pray for that, okay? Bow with me this morning. Father, I just pray that you will take these words from the kingdom, words of the kingdom, and that you will use them, Lord, first of all, that they will find fertile soil in us. God, that we will do some significant introspection this week. God, that your Spirit would cause us to think honestly about ourselves, and that we would, Lord, embrace the grace and mercy that we have in Jesus, knowing that none of us are ever going to be perfect or anything close to it, that even our righteousness is as filthy rags. And God, with that, with the peace that comes from that understanding, Lord, that we would know we are received by you, we are blessed by you, we are loved by you, and that we would, Lord, allow that to motivate us to surrender to you whatever areas of our life we've not already surrendered. I pray this morning, even now, God, as we pray and as we sing today, God, that you would use this time to draw us to you, and that we would surrender this morning.